So you're saying that the vine has the father's interest at heart predominantly, because the father desires, just as in John 4 he desires worshippers, here in this sense the father is desiring fruit, so that the son, so Christ is available to bring in that fruit for the satisfaction of the father's heart.
There's a passage in Luke 13, you might just turn to Luke 13, verse 6 through verse 9, about Israel, about the Lord's 3 years earthly ministry to them. Luke 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable: a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and came and sought fruit there, and found none. The Lord Jesus came upon earth, there was no fruit for God. Then he said to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years, what 3 years? It's 3 years of earthly ministry. I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why come it in the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this season, not a year, but this season also, till I should dig about it and dung it. If it bear fruit, well, if not, then after that thou should cut it down. It was allowed to stay to the stoning of Stephen. It was cut down at the cross of Calvary. The law containing ordinances was abolished by the work of Christ. Judaism was done away with in toto at Calvary's cross, but the Lord allowed it to stay until the stoning of Stephen, as he's standing before the Sanhedrin. At that point, it was done away with completely. It was allowed to stay another season until the stoning of Stephen.
I just wanted to mention that when the scripture speaks of, I am the true vine, it is not so much, doesn't bring to mind that there are maybe some false vines. That's so often, you know, like, for instance, we speak of the good shepherd. There were those shepherds, if you make a contrast, that were not so good. But here it's speaking as to the reality of what God is, of what the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the true vine. He's not, there is no other that could come in. When we speak of the true vine, and if we look at the, he takes it away, and Brother Bob mentioned another thought on that. But I want to just mention that if we were to go on that, of what the translation here says, take away, it's not speaking about losing your salvation, because often we could say, yeah, well, he takes it away. But no, what it's speaking about, I think, is there is a communion between the Lord Jesus Christ, because later on it says the branches comes up. So we get that communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. We get the sustenance from the Lord Jesus Christ as the branch that will come out from a vine.
There's another thought that I'd just like to bring out, and that's at home, I grow grapes, and I've nurtured vines from little plants to large plants. And the older they get, the more they produce, or the better they produce. And we're talking about the eternal one here, the only true God, who certainly has it over every human ever born on earth. And you can imagine, even today as it was then, the religious systems, or Judaism in that day, that thought they had a lot to do with God and motivated or captivated many of the people. But really, the fruit that it bore was not a good fruit as far as toward God. Whereas the Lord Jesus will bear, because he has the power to bear good fruit, sound fruit, that which is, and able to honor God. So in that way as well, He is the true vine. He has that greatness in himself so that we can be confident to look to him and to draw our strength from him to produce anything for God.
I was wondering as to whether or not in the true vine do we get somewhat of the sense of the crushing of the grapes. Does that come out here to us? The sense in which as the true vine, he was the one here that was for the absolute pleasure of the heart of the Father, even to the point of being crushed and producing out of death that which is a suitable response to the Father.
I have no problem taking it up in that light as well. Mm-hmm. And that's where the wine press comes up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to look at it also that in relationship to chapter 15, that you and I is part of that vine because we are planted, if you will, branches in him. And what a grace in reality that we are part of that vine that the Lord Jesus is speaking of. And that tells us very clearly that the expectation of Christ and God as to the believers, that we might bring forth much fruit. And brethren, this is a responsibility that the believer needs to take up. That we're not only here, well, we're saved and we're going to heaven and we can do whatever we want and we can do this or that, but we are here for the pleasure and the delight of God as well. So may the Lord help us to be able to bring much fruit.
And really, the whole thing about the vine is the idea of fruits and fruit bearing. Because Mike, you spoke about cultivating vines. There is no usefulness of any part of that vine at all. There are branches. You cannot take some vines, wood, and make a furniture. You cannot make a desk out of them or a chair out of them. You cannot use them for anything, really, but to burn them. There is nothing of that vine that is useful, but the fruit of it. And that is the emphasis in that we are ourselves, as our branches, are good for nothing but to bear fruit. But the interesting thing is, and it's that very little statement, that my Father is a husbandman. Yes. We always have the idea that there is activity in connection with the Lord Jesus. There is activity in the present time in connection with the Holy Spirit. But how wonderful it is to also realize that there is activity in connection with the Father. He is active in work, because usually you get the impression that it is the Son who is present ministry on our behalf. It's the Spirit of God in present ministry on our behalf. But you really don't think of the Father as also a present ministry for us, and that is to take care of those branches that they might bring fruit for his delight and for his glory.